ACA has increased. I made sure that they're $8,000 per person in a family to get written off for health care. But this guy wants to eliminate that. They tried 50 times. He wants to get rid of the ACA again. And they're going to try again if they win. You find ourselves in a position where the idea that we're not doing anything, we put more police on the street than any administration has. He wants to cut the cops. We're providing for equity and making sure people have a shot to make it. There's a lot going on, but in inflation, he caused it by his tremendous malfeasance in the way he handled the pandemic.
Thank you. Another persistent challenge is the climate crisis. 2023 was the hottest year in recorded history, and communities across the country are confronting the devastating effects of extreme heat, intensifying wildfires, stronger hurricanes, and rising sea levels. Former President Trump, you've vowed to end your opponent's climate initiatives, but will you take any action as president to slow the climate crisis?
Well, let me just go back to what he said about the police, how close the police are to him. Almost every police group in the nation from every state is supporting Donald J. Trump. Almost every police group. And what he's done to the black population is horrible, including the fact that for 10 years he called them super predators. We can't, in the 1990s, we can't forget that. Super predators was his name, and he called it to them for 10, and they've taken great offense at it, and now they see it happening. But when they see what I did for criminal justice reform and for the historically black colleges and universities, where I funded them and got them all funded, and the opportunity zones with Tim, as you know, Tim Scott was incredible. He did a great job, great senator from South Carolina. He came to me with the idea, and it was a great idea. It's one of the most successful economic development acts ever in the country, opportunity zones. And the biggest beneficiary are blacks. And that's why we have the best numbers with them in maybe ever. They're saying ever. I read this morning where ever, the best numbers. He's lost much of the black population because he's done a horrible job for black people. He's also done a horrible job for Hispanics. But wait till you see these millions of people pouring into our country, and they're going to take the jobs, and it's already started, and you haven't seen anything yet. It's a disaster.
You've 38 seconds left. President Trump, will you take any action as president to slow the climate crisis?
So I want absolutely immaculate clean water, and I want absolutely clean air, and we had it. We had H2O. We had the best numbers ever, and we were using all forms of energy, all forms, everything. And yet, during my 4 years, I had the best environmental numbers ever. And my top environmental people gave me that statistic just before I walked on the stage, actually.
I don't know where the hell he's been. The idea that anything he said is true. I've passed the most extensive climate change legislation in history. In history. We find ourselves, and by the way, black colleges. I came up with $15 billion for HBCUs, historic black universities and colleges, because they don't have the kind of contributors that they have to build these laboratories and the like. Any black student is capable in college of doing any white student can do. They just have the money, but now they'll be able to get those jobs in high tech. We're in a situation where the idea that he is claiming to have done something that had the cleanest water, he hadn't done a damn thing for the environment. He pulled out of the Paris Peace Accord, Climate Accord. I immediately joined it because if we reach 1.5 degrees Celsius at any one point, there's no way back. The only existential threat to humanity is climate change. And he didn't do a damn thing about it. He must undo all that I've done.
The Paris Accord was going to cost us $1 trillion, and China nothing, and Russia nothing, and India nothing. It was a ripoff of the United States. And I ended it because I didn't want to waste that money because they treat us horribly. We were the only ones. It was costing us money. Nobody else was paying into it. And it was a disaster. But everything that he said just now, I'll give you an example. I heard him say before insulin. I'm the one that got the insulin down for the seniors. I took care of the seniors. What he's doing is destroying all of our medical programs because the migrants coming in, they want everybody. And look, I have the biggest heart on the stage. I guarantee you that. and I want to take care of people, but we're destroying our country. They're taking over our schools, our hospitals, and they're going to be taking over Social Security. He is destroying Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
The idea is that we, in fact, we were the only ones of consequence who were not members of the Paris Accord. How can we do anything if we're not able to, the United States can't get its pollution under control? One of the largest polluters in the world, number one. We're making significant progress. By 2035, we will have cut pollution in half. We have made significant progress, and we're continuing to make progress. We set up a climate corps for thousands of young people to learn how to deal with climate, just like the Peace Corps. And we're moving in directions that are going to significantly change the elements of cause of pollution. But the idea that he claims that he has the biggest heart up here and he's really concerned about pollution and about climate, I've not seen any indication of that. And by the way, with regard to prescription drugs, one company agreed that they would reduce the price to $35, which I was calling for, one, voluntarily. I made sure every company in the world, every pharmaceutical company, cannot have to pay.
Thank you.
And by the way...
So every day, millions of Americans struggle just to make ends meet. For many older Americans, Social Security provides a critical lifeline. President Biden, if nothing is done to Social Security, seniors will see their benefits cut in just over 10 years. Will you name tonight one specific step that you're willing to take to keep Social Security solvent?
Yes, make the very wealthy begin to pay their fair share. Right now, everybody making under $170,000 pays 6% of their income, of their paycheck, every single time they get a paycheck from the time of the first one they get when they're 18 years old. The idea that they're going to, I've been proposing that everybody, they pay, the millionaires pay 1%. 1%. So no one after, I would not raise the cost of Social Security for anybody under $400,000. After that, I began to make the wealthy begin to pay their fair share by increasing from 1% beyond to be able to guarantee the program for life.
So you still have 82 seconds left. Are there any other measures that you think that would be able to help keep Social Security solvent, or is that one enough?
Well, no, that one enough will keep it solvent. But the biggest thing I'll do if we defeat this man, because he wants to get rid of Social Security. He thinks there's plenty to cut in Social Security. He's wanted to cut Social Security and Medicare both times. And that's what, and if you look at the program put forward by the House Republican Caucus that he, I believe, supports, is in fact want to cut it as well. The idea that we don't need to protect our seniors is ridiculous. And by the way, American public has greater health care coverage today than ever before. And on the ACA, as I said, you're in a circumstance where 400,000 people, 40 million people would not have insurance because they have a pre-existing condition. Only thing that allows them to have that insurance is the fact that they, in fact, are part of the ACA. And by the way, the other thing is, we're in a situation where I talk about education for Black communities. I've raised the amount of money for Pell Grants, another $8,000. So anybody making under $70,000 a year are going to be able to get $15,000 toward their tuition. He just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump.
So I've dealt with politicians all my life. I've been on this side of the equation for the last 8 years. I've never seen anybody lie like this guy. He lies. I've never seen it. He could look you in the face. So many other things, too. And we mentioned the laptop. We mentioned Russia, 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 Ukraine. Everything he does is a lie. It's misinformation and disinformation. The losers and suckers story that he made up is a total lie on the military. It's a disgrace. But Social Security, he's destroying it because millions of people are pouring into our country, and they're putting them onto Social Security. They're putting them onto Medicare, Medicaid. They're putting them in our hospitals. They're taking the place of our citizens. What they're doing to the VA, to our veterans, is unbelievable. Our veterans are living in the street, and these people are living in luxury hotels. He doesn't know what he's doing, and it's really coming back. I've never seen such anger in our country before.
President Biden?
The idea that veterans are not being taken care of, I told you before. And by the way, when I said suckers and losers, he said he acknowledged after that he fired that general. That general got fired. because he's the one that acknowledged that that's what he said. He was the one standing with Trump when he said it, number one. Number two, the idea that we're going to be in a situation where all these millions and millions, the way he talks about it, illegal aliens are coming into the country and taking away our jobs. There's a reason why we have the fastest growing economy in the world, the reason why we have the most successful economy in the world. We're doing better than any other nation in the world. And by the way, those 15 Nobel laureates he talked about being phony, those 15 Nobel laureates, economists, they all said that if Trump is reelected, we're likely to have a recession and inflation is going to increasingly go up. And by the way, worst president in history, 159 presidential scholars voted him the worst president in the history of the United States of America.
President Biden, thank you so much. Let's turn to the cost of child care, which many American families struggle to afford. President Trump, both you and President Biden have tried to address this issue, but the average cost of child care in this country has risen to more than $11,000 a year per child. For many families, the cost of child care for two children is more than their rent. In your second term, what would you do to make child care more affordable?
Just to go back, the general got fired because he was no good. And if he said that, that's why he made it up. But we have 19 people that said I didn't say it, and they're very highly respected, much more so than him. The other thing is, he doesn't fire people. He never fired people. I've never seen him fire anybody. I did fire a lot. I fired Comey because he was no good. I fired a lot of the top people at the FBI, drained the swamp. They were no good. Not easy to fire people. You'd pay a price for it, but they were no good. I inherited these people. I didn't put them there. I didn't put Comey there. He was no good. I fired him. This guy hasn't fired anybody. He never fires. He should have fired every military man that was involved with that Afghanistan horror show, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. He didn't fire. Did you fire anybody? Did you fire anybody that's on the border that's allowed us to have the worst border in the history of the world? Did anybody get fired for allowing 18 million people, many from prisons, many from mental institutions? Did you fire anybody that allowed our country to be destroyed? Joe, our country is being destroyed as you and I sit up here and waste a lot of time on this debate. This shouldn't be a debate. He is the worst president. He just said about me because I said it. But look, he's the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroyed our country. Now, all of a sudden, he's trying to get a little tough on the border. He came out with a nothing deal, and it reduced it a little bit, like this much. It's insignificant. He wants open borders. He wants our country to either be destroyed or he wants to pick up those people as voters. And I don't think we just can't let it happen. If he wins this election, our country doesn't have a chance, not even a chance, of coming out of this rut. We probably won't have a country left anymore. That's how bad it is. He is the worst in history by far.
Thank you, President Trump. President Biden?
We are the most admired country in the world. We're the United States of America. There's nothing beyond our capacity. We have the finest military in the history of the world, the finest in the history of the world. No one thinks we're weak. No one wants to screw around with us. Nobody. Number one. Number two, the idea that we're talking about worst presidents. I wasn't joking. Look it up. Go online. 159 or 58, don't hold me the exact number, presidential historians, they've had meetings and they voted who's the worst president in American history, one through best to worst. They said he was the worst in all of American history. That's a fact. That's not conjecture. He can argue they're wrong, but that's what they voted. The idea that he is doing anything to deal with child care, he did virtually nothing to child care. We should significantly increase the child care tax credit. We should significantly increase the availability of women and men or single parents to be able to go back to work. And we should encourage businesses to have.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, the question was about what would you do to make child care more affordable, if you want to take your minute.
Just so you understand, we have polling. We have other things that they rate him the worst. Because what he's done is so bad. And they rate me, I'll show you, I will show you. And they rate me one of the best, okay? And if I'm given another 4 years, I will be the best. I think I'll be the best. Nobody's ever created an economy like us. Nobody ever cut taxes like us. He's the only one I know. He wants to raise your taxes by four times. He wants to raise everybody's taxes by four times. He wants the Trump tax cuts to expire. So everybody, including the two of you, are going to pay four to five times. Nobody ever heard of this before. All my life, I'd grow up and I'd see politicians talking about cutting taxes. When we cut taxes, as I said, we did more business. Apple and all these companies, they were bringing money back into our country. The worst president in history by far, and everybody knows it.
President Biden?
Look, the fact of the matter is that he's dead wrong about, he's increased the tariff, he will increase the taxes on middle-class people. I said I'd never raise a tax upon anybody making less than $400,000. I didn't. But this tariff is 10% tariffs. Everything coming into the country, you know what the economists say? That's going to cost the average American $2,500 a year more because they're going to have to pay the difference in food and all the things that are important. Number two, he's in a situation where he talks about how he has not raised, he somehow helped the middle class. The middle class has been devastated by you. Now you want a new tax cut of $5 trillion over the next 10 years, which is going to fundamentally bankrupt the country. You had the largest deficit of any president in American history, number one. Number two, you have not, in fact, made any contact, any progress with China. We are at the lowest trade deficit with China since 2010.
Thank you, President Biden.
You lost.
Thank you, President Biden. Let's discuss an epidemic impacting millions of Americans that both of you have made a top priority in your first term, the opioid crisis. And for both of you, the number of overdose deaths in this country has gone up. Under your term, it went up. Under your term, it has gone up. Former President Trump, despite the efforts that both of you have made, more than 100,000 Americans are dying from overdoses every year, primarily from fentanyl and other opioids. What will you do to help Americans right now in the throes of addiction who are struggling to get the treatment they need?
To finish up, we now have the largest deficit in the history of our country under this guy. We have the largest deficit with China. He gets paid by China. He's a Manchurian candidate. He gets money from China. So I think he's afraid to deal with them or something. But do you notice he never took out my tariffs because we bring in so much money with the tariffs that I imposed on China. He never took them away. He can't because it's too much money. It's tremendous. And we saved our steel industries and there was more to come, but he hasn't done that. But he hasn't cut the tariffs because he can't, because it's too much money. But he's got the largest deficit in the history of our country, and he's got the worst situation with China. China's going to own us if you keep allowing them to do what they're doing to us as a country. They are killing us as a country, Joe, and you can't let that happen. You're destroying our country.
So, President Trump, you have 67 seconds left. The question was, what are you going to do to help Americans in the throes of addiction right now who are struggling to get the treatment they need?
Jake, we were doing very well at addiction until the COVID came along. We had the 2.5, almost 3 years of like nobody's ever had before, any country in every way. And then we had to get tough. And it was the drugs pouring across the border were it started to increase. We got great equipment. We bought the certain dog. That's the most incredible thing that you've ever seen, the way they can spot it. We did a lot. And we were getting very low numbers, very, very low numbers. Then he came along. The numbers, have you seen the numbers now? It's not only the 18 million people that I believe is even low because the gotaways, they don't even talk about gotaways. But the numbers of the amount of drugs and human trafficking in women coming across our border, the worst thing I've ever seen, at numbers that nobody's ever seen under him because the border's so bad. But the number of drugs coming across our border now is the largest we've ever had by far.
President Trump, thank you. President Biden?
Fentanyl and the byproducts of fentanyl went down for a while. And I wanted to make sure we use the machinery that can detect fentanyl, these big machines that roll over everything that comes across the border. And it costs a lot of money. That was part of this deal we put together, this bipartisan deal. More fentanyl machines, more be able to detect drugs, more numbers of agents, more numbers of all the people at the border. And when we had that deal done, he called his Republican colleagues and said, don't do it. It's going to hurt me politically. No, he never argued it's not a good bill. It's a really good bill. We need those machines. We need those machines. And we're coming down very hard in every country in Asia in terms of precursors for fentanyl. And Mexico is working with us to make sure they don't have the technology to be able to put it together. That's what we have to do. We need those machines.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, and again, the question is about Americans in the throes of addiction right now, struggling to get the treatment they need.
Well, this, because this does pertain to it. He ended Remain in Mexico. He ended catch and release. I made it catch and release in Mexico, not catch and release here. We had so many things that we had done, hard negotiations with Mexico, and I got it all for nothing. It's just like when you have a hostage. We always pay $6 billion for a hostage. Every time we say it's a hostage. Now we have a hostage, a Wall Street Journal reporter, I think a good guy, and he's over there because Putin is laughing at this guy, probably asking for billions of dollars for the reporter. I will have him out very quickly. As soon as I take office, before I take office, I said, by literally, as soon as I win the election, I will have that reporter out. He should have had him out a long time ago, but Putin's probably asking for billions and billions of dollars because this guy pays it every time. We had two cases where we paid $6 billion for five people. I got 58 people out, and I paid essentially nothing.
Thank you, President Trump. Dana?
Let's turn to concerns that voters have about each of you. President Biden, you would be 86 at the end of your second term. How do you address concerns about your capability to handle the toughest job in the world well into your 80s?
Well, first of all, I spent half my career being criticized being the youngest person in politics. I was the second youngest person ever elected to the United States Senate, and now I'm the oldest. This guy's 3 years younger and a lot less competent. I think that just look at the record. Look at what I've done. Look how I've turned around the horrible situation he left me. As I said, 15 million new jobs, 800,000 manufacturing jobs, more investment in America, over millions, billions of dollars in private investment in enterprises that we are growing. By the way, we brought an awful lot of people. The whole idea of computer chips, we used to have 40% of the market. We invented those chips, and we lost it because he was sending people to find the cheapest jobs overseas and to bring home a product. So I went to South Korea. I convinced Samsung to invest billions of dollars here in the United States. And they're, guess what? Those fabs, they call them, to build these chips, those fabs pay over $100,000. You don't need a college degree for them. And there's billions, about $40 billion already being invested and being built right now in the United States, creating significant jobs for Americans from all over the world.
President Biden, you have 40 seconds left. Would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I would. The idea that somehow we are this failing country. I never heard a president talk like this before. We're the envy of the world. Like, name me a single major country president who wouldn't trade places with the United States of America for all our problems and all our opportunities. We're the most progressive country in the world in getting things done. We're the strongest country in the world. We're a country in the world who keeps our word, and everybody trusts us, all of our allies, and those who he coddles up to, from Kim Jong-un, he sends love letters to, and Putin, et cetera. They don't want to screw around with us.
Thank you. Former President Trump, to follow up, you would be 82 at the end of your second term. What do you say to voters who have concerns about your capabilities to serve?
Well, I took two tests, cognitive tests. I aced them, both of them, as you know. We made it public. He took none. I'd like to see him take one, just one, a real easy one. Like, go through the first five questions. He couldn't do it. But I took two cognitive tests. I took physical exams every year. And, you know, we knock on wood, wherever we may have wood, that I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior. Two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter, but I'm in as good a shape as I was years ago. I feel very good. I feel the same. But I was willing to take a cognitive test. And you know what? If I didn't do well, I aced them. Dr. Ronny Jackson, who's a great guy when he was White House doctor. And then I took another one, a similar one. And one of them said they've never seen anybody ace them.
Thank you. President Biden?
You can see he is 6'5" and only 225 pounds, or 235 pounds. Well, you said 6'4", 200. Well, anyway, that's what you're, anyway. Just take a look at what he says he is, and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. The reason I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And well, by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf with you if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8?
Never.
But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
Let's not act like children. President Trump, we're going to turn.
Let's not act like children.
You are a child. To a specific concern that voters have about you. Will you pledge tonight that once all legal challenges have been exhausted, that you will accept the results of this election, regardless of who wins, and you will say right now that political violence in any form is unacceptable?
Well, I shouldn't have to say that, but of course I believe that. It's totally unacceptable. And if you would see my statements that I made on Twitter at the time, and also my statement that I made in the Rose Garden, you would say it's one of the strongest statements you've ever seen. In addition to the speech I made in front of, I believe, the largest crowd I've ever spoken to, and I will tell you, nobody ever talks about that. They talk about a relatively small number of people that went to the Capitol, and in many cases were ushered in by the police. And as Nancy Pelosi said, it was her responsibility, not mine. She said that loud and clear. But the answer is, if the election is fair, free, and I want that more than anybody, and I'll tell you something. I wish he was a great president, because I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be at one of my many places enjoying myself. I wouldn't be under indictment because I wouldn't have been his political opponent, because he indicted me because I was his opponent. I wish he was a great president. I would rather have that. I wouldn't be here. I don't mind being here. But the only reason I'm here is he's so bad as a president that I'm going to make America great again. We're going to make America great again. We're a failing nation right now. We're a seriously failing nation. And we're a failing nation because of him. His policies are so bad. His military policies are insane. They're insane. These are wars that will never end with him. He will drive us into World War III. And we're closer to World War III than anybody can imagine. We are very, very close to World War III, and he's driving us there. And Kim Jong-un and President Xi of China, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, all of these, Putin, they don't respect him. They don't fear him. They have nothing going with this gentleman, and he's going to drive us into World War III.
You want a World War III? Let him follow and win, and let Putin say, do what you want, NATO. Just do what you want. There's a thing called Article 5. An attack on one is an attack on all, and required response. The idea, I can't think of a single major leader in the world who wouldn't trade places with the job I've done and what they've done. Because we are a powerful nation. We have wonderful people. It's because of the people, not me. It's because of the American people. They're capable of anything, and they step up when they're needed. And right now, we're needed. We're needed to protect the world because our own safety is at stake. And again, you want to have a war, just let Putin go ahead and take Kyiv, make sure they move on, see what happens in Poland, Hungary, and other places along that border. Then you have a war.
President Trump, as I come back to you for a follow-up, the question was, will you accept the results of this election, regardless of who wins?
Just to finish what he said, if I might, Russia, they took a lot of land from Bush. They took a lot of land from Obama and Biden. They took no land, nothing, from Trump, nothing. He knew not to do it. He's not going to play games with me. He knew that. I got along with him very well, but he knew not to play games. He took nothing from me. But now he's going to take the whole thing from this man right here. That's a war that should have never started. It would have never started ever with me. And he's going to take Ukraine. And, you know, you asked me a question before, would you do this? He's got us in such a bad position right now with Ukraine and Russia, because Ukraine's not winning that war. He said, I will never settle until such time. They're running out of people. They're running out of soldiers. They've lost so many people. It's so sad. They've lost so many people, and they've lost those gorgeous cities with the golden domes that are 1,000 years old, all because of him and stupid decisions. Russia would have never attacked if I were president.
Trump, the question was, will you accept the results of the election, regardless of who wins, yes or no, please?
If it's a fair and legal and good election, absolutely. I would have much rather accepted these, but the fraud and everything else was ridiculous. And if you want, we'll have a news conference on it in a week, or we'll have another one of these on in a week. But I will absolutely, there's nothing I'd rather do. It would be much easier for me to do that than I'm running again. I wasn't really going to run until I saw the horrible job he did. He's destroying our country. I would be very happy to be someplace else, in a nice location someplace. And again, no indictments, no political opponent stuff, because it's the only way he thinks he can win. But unfortunately, it's driven up my numbers and driven them up to a very high level because the people understand it.
Well, let's see what your numbers are when this election is over.
Let's see.
You're a whiner. When you lost the first time, you continued, you appealed and appealed to courts all across the country. Not one single court in America said any of your claims had any merit, state or local, none. But you continue to provoke this lie about somehow there's all this misrepresentation, all this stealing. There is no evidence of that at all. And I tell you what, I doubt whether you'll accept it because you're such a whiner. The idea, if you lose again, you accept anything, you can't stand the loss. Something snapped in you when you lost the last time.
We'll be right back with more from the CNN presidential debate.
You're listening to Civic Media coverage of the presidential debate produced by CNN. We'll be back right after this.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And it's like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Dr. Diane Ravitch.
Public schools continue to be better than all of the alternatives. Josh Cowan pulled together the evidence showing that when kids leave the public schools to go to a voucher school, they're usually going to a religious school with uncertified teachers. Their learning loss is greater than the learning loss of the pandemic.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different.
Predetermined by a coin toss. We're going to begin with you, President Biden. You have 2 minutes.
We've made significant progress from the debacle that was left by President Trump in his last term. We find ourselves in a situation where, number one, we have to make sure that we have a fair tax system. I ask anyone out there in the audience, or anyone out watching this debate, do you think the tax system is fair? The fact is that I said nobody even making under $400,000 had a single penny increase in their taxes and will not. And if I'm reelected, that'll be the case again. But this guy has increased your taxes because of the deficit, number one. He's increased inflation because of the debacle he left after the way he handled the pandemic. And he finds himself in a position where he now wants to tax you more by putting a 10% tariff on everything that comes into the United States of America. What I did when, for example, he wants to get rid of the ability of Medicare for us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies. Well, guess what? We got it down to $35 for insulin instead of $400. No more than $2,000 for every senior, no matter what they. How much prescription they need. You know what that did? That reduced the federal debt by $160 billion over 10 years because the government doesn't have to pay the exorbitant prices. I'm going to make that available to every senior all along. It's happening now, and everybody in America. He wants to get rid of that. I'm going to make sure that we have child care. We're going to significantly increase the credit people have for child care. I'm going to make sure we do something about what we're doing on lead pipes and all the things that are causing health problems for people across the country. We're going to continue to fight to bring down inflation and give people a break.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump, you now have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Like so many politicians, this man is just a complainer. He said, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to get rid of this tax, that tax. But he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do, all he does is make our country unsafe by allowing millions and millions of people to pour in. Our military doesn't respect him. We look like fools in Afghanistan. We didn't stop Israel. It was such a horrible thing that would have never happened. It should have never happened. Iran was broke. Anybody that did business with Iran, including China, they couldn't do business with the United States. They all passed. Iran was broke. They had no money for Hamas or Hezbollah, for terror, no money whatsoever. Again, Ukraine should have never happened. He talks about all this stuff, but he didn't do it. For 3.5 years, we're living in hell. We have the Palestinians and we have everybody else rioting all over the place. You talk about Charlottesville. This is 100 times Charlottesville, 1,000 times. The whole country is exploding because of you, because they don't respect you, and they have to respect their president, and they don't respect you throughout the world. What we did was incredible. We rebuilt the military. We got the largest tax cut in history, the largest regulation cut in history. The reason he's got jobs is because I cut the regulations that gave jobs, but he's putting a lot of those regulations back on. All of the things that we've done, nobody's ever seen anything like, even from a medical standpoint, right to try, where we can try space age materials instead of going to Asia or going to Europe and trying to get when you're terminally ill. Now you can go and you can get something. You sign a document. They've been trying to get it for 42 years. But you know what we did for the military was incredible. Choice for our soldiers, where our soldiers, instead of waiting for 3 months to see a doctor, can go out and get themselves fixed up and readied up and take care of themselves and their living. And that's why I had the highest approval rating in the history of the VA. So all of these things, we're in a failing nation, but it's not going to be failing anymore. We're going to make it great again.
Thank you, former President Trump, President Biden. Stay with us because we have full analysis of this debate. Anderson Cooper and Aaron Burnett starts now on CNN.
And actually, we'll take things from here, but thank you very much. This is Civic Media's analysis of the presidential debate presented by CNN. We'd also like to hear from you. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to share your thoughts about what you saw tonight. 855-752-4842. We bring in Todd Aubaugh now. And Todd, let's for a moment put aside the voters who are locked in for Trump, the voters who are locked in for Biden, the people who I would argue probably matter, the viewers that matter most tonight, were those undecided voters. What did they take away from what they just saw?
Social media, Terry, once again, trumps everything. This is a tweet tonight from Charles Davis, who says, quote, "This is going to ruin the tour," unquote, referring to Justin Timberlake recently being pulled over for a DUI. And he says, you know, this is going to ruin the tour. This was not a great debate tonight on either side, quite frankly, but this was not a good look for Joe Biden. And I think that, look, our network is founded on telling the truth, and you can't sugarcoat it. If you are a Democrat or if you are an undecided voter, and I think it's worth, in all seriousness, looking at, you and I are both, I mean, well, I guess I wasn't quite old enough to be alive during the Nixon-Kennedy debate, but certainly remember hearing a lot about it. And for those that don't know, if you're a certain age, the Nixon, Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy debate was the first televised debate. And a lot of people who heard it on radio thought that Nixon had won. But people who looked at it on television noticed that Nixon had like his beard, the makeup wasn't right, and that Nixon looked terrible and thought that Kennedy had won. And a lot of people credit that debate for being the turning point for Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. to have won that race. If you were listening tonight on Civic Media, it sounded like Joe Biden was hoarse. He had a cold, which I think clearly is the case. If you were watching on television tonight, especially the split screen where Joe Biden kind of had his mouth open and kind of seemed to be peering off into space, it was disconcerting. It was not a great look. To answer your question succinctly, I think an undecided voter is going to depend, Terry. If you are someone who cares about the overturning of Roe v. Wade, if you're someone who cares about LGBTQ rights, if you're someone who cares about the environment or democracy writ large, you're going to say, look, Donald Trump continued to tell unchecked lies, and I'm not impressed with Joe Biden tonight, but I'm probably going to vote for him. But if you're someone who says, look, I care about more about the way they look and act, and I want a leader, I think Trump clearly is the person that probably won them over, assuming they don't really care about those issues.
Much is being made already about this debate format and whether or not it was successful or not. The Twitter reviews, and you can take Twitter and X for whatever you take it for. But there was a lot of calling out of CNN for not fact-checking in real time. Also, if, you know, one candidate had something to respond to the other one, they had to wait, and by then the moment was kind of gone. And then there were entire stretches of time when Trump especially would not even answer the question, would just kind of go off on a monologue of their choosing rather than answering the question, and sometimes the moderators had to answer a question a couple of times. It seems like the reviews I've seen so far seems to be that the moderators were ineffective in this case.
I think that's to put it mildly, Terry. And you and I, you know, kind of looked at this debate format in the pregame show. How would it turn out? I think that not having an audience tonight, someone to play to, made Trump seem more normalized. He didn't seem as off the rails. He appeared more calm. But neither candidate had anybody to play off in the room. And also, to your point, I think that it appears that CNN just wanted to get in as many questions as they could, and so there was no fact-checking. And we have some here, courtesy of CBS News. Many of our show hosts tomorrow, myself included, are going to analyze what happened tonight and fact-check this tomorrow. But I think that the continual number of lies from Trump tonight that were never called, that were never corrected, it played to his favor because a lot of people post-game show and certainly tomorrow, they're not going to be hearing this. Remember, in debates, usually the first 30 minutes is where you get the most viewership. Any debate, viewers tend to turn out after the first 30 minutes. And in that first 30 minutes, in fact, at the 13-minute mark, it was Joe Biden, and you talked about this, Terry, in the pregame show. Are one of these candidates going to have a gaffe or a viral moment, particularly visual, that could go on TikTok or wherever on social media? And Joe Biden had this moment where he seemed to kind of freeze up and lost his train of thought. And at the end said, quote, if we finally beat Medicare, unquote. And Trump picked up on that. I think that's the viral moment tonight.
It could be. Let's you mentioned fact checking. Let's just hit some of the highlights, just a few. Trump's claim that he had the greatest economy in the history of the world turns out to be false. The GDP under Trump, well, let's see. If you exclude factors with the pandemic, Trump's average GDP 2.67%. Compare that to Bill Clinton's 4%, and that falls well short of the claim that it is the best economy ever in the history of the United States.
Absolutely. Also, according to CBS fact checkers, Donald Trump tonight claimed he did not refer to U.S. soldiers who were killed as, quote, suckers and losers. CBS fact checkers deem that as false. Current and former U.S. military service members have detailed to CBS News and other news sources multiple instances when Trump made disparaging remarks about U.S. military members. And of course, it was in France in 2018 that he referred to veterans and those who died as losers and suckers. And of course, his own former chief of staff, U.S. Former U.S. general in the Marine Corps, Kelly, heard this, and it was at the grave of Kelly's son in which Trump made these comments.
And that would seem to be, and I think where the criticism of the moderators is justified, this would seem to be an instant fact check that would be ready to do, that easy to do. The moderators should have been prepared for something like that. Yeah, it's hard to fact check, you know, statistics and figures in real time, but something like that, they could have and maybe should have been ready for. And it wasn't until President Biden had his turn to speak that anything was, you know, said to refute.
But Terry, you've been in the news business a long time. You've seen a lot of things. Would you agree or disagree? Because I watch particularly Jake Tapper a lot on his talk show and other places. I think he has in his head a lot of what you were saying, the ability. To me, this appears as higher-ups, executives, told Jake Tapper and Dana Bash what they could and couldn't do.
I believe the attempt was made tonight to have a broadcast to give the candidates a chance to speak to the issues and not fall into the trappings of a live television.
Right.
But I think on many measures it fell short of that goal. I think that the lack of interaction was maybe did not serve truth as well as maybe was envisioned that it would.
One of the perhaps highlights for President Biden tonight, mm-hmm. kind of one of the zingers he got in, he said to Donald Trump, quote, you have the morals of an alley cat, unquote. That was one of the better lines of the evening. Maria Shriver, former first lady of the state of California, of course, Republican, her now ex-husband, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And of course, she's part of the Kennedy family and has seen a lot. I thought this was insightful, Terry. Maria Shriver tweeted tonight, quote, Biden has a solid record, but he's not adept at the art of storytelling. He's not telling the story of his success. Trump is weaving a very different story, one based in fear, not based in fact, but it's one people could grab. It's one that gets people riled up. People respond to a story. They respond to energy and vision. They respond to the person they feel will keep them safe, who they feel is strong enough to carry them through. Trump keeps harping on immigration, quote, you're not safe, unquote, equaling fear. He is playing a classic role making of people feel they aren't safe, unquote. And Trigvi Olsen, of course, who may be making a special appearance on our show tomorrow, he tells us all the time. Of course, he worked for John McCain's campaign, Mitch McConnell world. He, like me, is a former Republican. But Trigvi says all the time, Democrats are great at policy and Republicans are great at narrative. And again, to Maria Shriver's point, I believe Donald Trump came across as the better storyteller tonight. I think that it's pretty clear that Joe Biden had some kind of an illness, whether it's a cold, whether it's flu, but he probably thought, I can't cancel because that's going to look as or even worse. So he tried to push through. But boy, I think a lot of Democrats tonight are going to have a lot of questions and a lot of soul searching about what comes next. I mean, let's just put it on the table. I think there are going to be, I've heard it from people already tonight. There are some Democrats that are saying, is there a chance that we could change nominees in Chicago come August?
That may be a storyline that comes up in the days to come. There's a lot of concern. Another question I had for you is, does this mobilize Democrats? Do they see what they have to do from this point to November after tonight's performance?
I mean, I would think that particularly Gen Z and Gen Y Democrats who have been frustrated with Biden partly because of his age are like, see, we told you tonight. And I think that for those people, regardless of party affiliation, and I think if there's one bright spot tonight for Democrats and Joe Biden, it is very clear, if you are able to put the optics aside and listen to the content, one candidate in Donald Trump taking credit for ending Roe v. Wade has no problem with a nationwide abortion ban and outlawing IVF and you know, challenging LGBTQ rights and the environment. Go right to the list. That's Donald Trump. That's the mega Republican Party. Joe Biden is the antithesis of that. And that's the content tonight. So if you're someone who cares about Roe v. Wade, if you're someone who cares about women's health care rights, I would think, yes, tonight is going to be, look, if I was thinking about voting for Cornel West or Jill Stein or Robert Kennedy Jr., I can't do that anymore. I now have to vote for Joe Biden if he ends up being the nominee, because it's clear that Donald Trump stands for everything I don't. But based on the optics tonight, simply on the optics, I mean, Bill McCosken, former chief of staff to Tommy Thompson and Secretary of Commerce under Tommy, a Republican, you know, he said a week ago when asked, he said, will Trump show up at the debate? He said, yep. McCosken was asked, will there be a second one? He said, nope. And tonight he tweets out, there's no way there'll be a second debate, which is scheduled in September. But after tonight, I don't think the Trump people are going to want their candidate on the stage. They've got the win in their pocket. And I'm not sure that the Biden people want to put Biden back out there.
Those are excellent questions and excellent points. And that's going to be interesting to see in the days and weeks to come. With many thanks to our team who put our election night. My goodness. That's not coming for a while yet. Our debate night coverage produced by CNN. We want to thank Civic Media CEO Sage Weil, Program Director Catherine Lake, Operations Director Aaron Carino, Executive Producer Luke Mathers, Chief Engineer Corey Hartman, Engineer Chris Casper, tonight's producer and engineer Aaron Zommers, and most of all, thank you to all of you who listened tonight. For Todd Albaugh, I'm Terry Bell. Have a great evening. You've been listening to Civic Media's coverage of the presidential debate presented by CNN on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The assembly and the there that own 90 to 95% of mass media out there. And so, you know, again, our friend Arvina brought up a while ago that, you know, these, it's not this close. It's, we got to stay engaged. They just, these news medias still want the clicks and the views, and so they can make money on the advertising. And they're not doing their job, Haley.
Yeah.
They're not doing their job at all. This guy is a lunatic.
He really is.
They give him free range to say whatever he wants, and in 90% of the times it's lies.
Yeah. And just the horrible, horrible things that he's said about women, done to women. I mean, that's, I don't know exactly the number of how many, you know, females are living in the United States, but that's a majority of the population. So I don't understand how women of any kind are behind him.
Well, 51%, right? Are of the people in this country are women. And it's a different thing. But I really want to focus on the people that voted last election and the new ones and people that are like-minded, because I really feel like, you know, we're not going to change the mind of people that are entrenched for whatever reason, whether it's they're embarrassed to change their mind. You know, or to say that they were wrong, or quietly vote Democrat and not know. I mean, Biden won by 8 million votes.
Yeah.
Let's get real.
Yeah.
Is he going to lose 8 million votes in 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's look at the facts and not, and what's proven to be true and not just, you know, hearsay.
Right. And we'll be watching the debates tonight and listening, and we'll probably be discussing that tomorrow for at least half the show. And, you know, I'm really glad that we got Katrina on. And it's good medicine to hear good things about Ho-Chunk and her experience with us. And so vote early and vote often is what they used to say in Chicago politics.
Hey, that makes sense.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. If you're listening to us, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenticoops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, 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 and help everybody vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
.5 The Tap. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Marquette pollster Charles Franklin. Let's talk about the dead heat here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.